John chapter 10, please stand with me in honor of God's word, and we'll be reading beginning there in verse number 1. John chapter 10, beginning in verse number 1, and Jesus is speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Again, for your blessings and for your grace and your mercy upon us. And Father, I pray, strengthen us in this time. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our heart to receive the words you have for us. And we ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. There is a lot that we can talk about concerning this passage and Jesus being our shepherd and how he has an open door to come and to go, to gather his sheep and to bring them into a place of safety, but to also lead them out and to protect them while they are out and about. And anyone that tries to come in without coming through that sheep door, they are a thief and a liar, and they are only seeking to destroy. And there are many things we can talk about. How false teachers and how false prophets have come into the world to try to represent God, but they have not come in through the front door. And they have brought lies, and they have brought half-truths and made it a lie. And they have changed people's perceptions on God, and they have changed people's perceptions on their own walk with God. So that they don't understand that they're not really following the God of heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they aren't following Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd, and the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus is trying to teach us so much, but there is something in these verses that I want to pinpoint with you this morning. And it's this particular verse. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, how many of you here today are happy that Jesus knows your name? Amen? Amen. Let me ask you, does Jesus know your name? Okay. I want you to hold that thought, because I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. Jesus knows my name. You know, that is a banner that we carry as Christians, isn't it? Jesus knows my name. And for good reason we carry that banner. Because in the world that is so full of nightmares and so full of evil, we wonder how God can allow such things to happen at times. And we even wonder how we can get caught up by some of these things at times. And we begin to wonder, even, am I saved? How a Christian can begin to wonder if they are saved and if they have lost their salvation. And I want to tell you, if you're saved, you have not lost your salvation. I want to tell you this as well. If you are saved, you cannot lose your salvation. You didn't earn it. It was a gift. And you can't give it back. God says, I'm not giving up on you. I will neither leave you nor forsake you nor abandon you. So if you are God's, then act like you are and honor him as he has honored you. And that's the challenge we face every day. But there's a question that is out there, is if He doesn't know my name, how can He know my name? It's a valid concern. J.I. Packer says this, I want to share this with you. The entire New Testament is overshadowed by the certainty of a coming day of universal judgment and by the problem thence arising. How may we sinners get right with God while there is yet still time? That's why I'm asking you, does God know your name? Does God know your name? Because it's important that He does. It's important that we understand what that means for us. But when we look at this passage and we think about Jesus calling our name and leading us out, we can't help but to envision possibly the day of the rapture. How many of you know what the rapture is? A few of us. There's some hope in here. The rapture! Amen! The rapture! When the Lord Himself will descend with a shout, like with the sound of a trumpet, and we shall rise to meet with Him in the air. And we won't perceive those who have gone before us. Those who have died in the physical sense, and their bodies are in the ground. Their soul is with God. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. So they are already in spirit with God, but their body is still in the earth. Many, many, many of them have already dissolved into dust. But when the trumpet sounds, we shall all meet with God in the air. We will not precede them. God's going to resurrect their bodies, make it a brand new thing, and reunite it with their spirit. And as we arrive, guess what? We're going to see them the same way they see us. Changed in a twinkling of an eye. And that's the idea and the teaching of the rapture. Because God has not appointed His people unto wrath. And you know why that is? Because Jesus took the wrath for us on the cross. And those who have rejected Christ, they will remain on the earth and they will face God's wrath through the tribulation. And what a terrible time that will be. And if your name is written in the book of life, you will hear the sound of that trumpet and you will come. You can't stop yourself. I don't know who would want to stop themselves. I wonder though, if I'm sitting there and I've got the biggest bass world record, I'm holding on. I'm about to get that baby in the boat. And the trumpet sounds. Where am I going? I'm going to let go of the pole, y'all. There might be bigger bass in heaven. Right? Fishermen always looking for a new spot to fish, right? I bet there's a big old bass over there. If I could just get to it. If I could just get to heaven, how wonderful it's going to be. None of us will stop ourselves from getting to heaven when the trumpet sounds, when God calls. However He decides to deliver us, whether it's by the trumpet or by the lifting of angels, who among us is going to say, I'm not ready? We made ourselves ready when we called on Christ for that moment. And we look for that moment. We're eager for that moment. I will miss things in this life, and probably people. But not so much that I'm going to give up seeing my Lord and Savior and those that have preceded me from this life into the greater life with Him. How wonderful it's going to be. He's going to come. He's going to call us by name. He's going to lead us out. It's going to be a wonderful thing, isn't it? But church, I want to ask you something. Does He know your name? Because there's a warning in Scripture that we can find about this very issue. And when Jesus is speaking to John and He's writing the book of Revelation for us to read, And we find the church of Sardis, which is the dead church. And Jesus is speaking to Sardis, and he says to them in Revelation chapter 3, if you wanted to turn and just take a look, he says to that church, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. I know that you think you're alive and you are clinging to a name that gives life and you are living among those around you proclaiming your life, but you're dead. You're dead. This is Jesus speaking to the church. And this is concerning. How many of us in here know that Jesus knows our name? Amen. You think he knew their names? He does say to the church in Sardis, there are some among you who are going to be with me and clothed in white. But you as a body, you're dead. There are some among you, though, that are alive. But you as a body are dead. It means there are members within the body that are dead. But he didn't say that all hope was lost. He said to that church, remember how you came to me and go back to that beginning and renew yourself and find your hope and become alive again. Be alive in me. In fact, he says this, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. I will not blot out his name from the book of life. So those who are within the church, he is saying to them, you claim to live by a name that gives life, but you are dead. And that claim is dead because your life is not recognized by God himself. That's the only way we would be dead, is if God didn't recognize our name. Does God know your name? Let me finish what he was saying to Sardis. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I want to tell you something today. Church, individual, we're asking the wrong question. The question really is not whether God knows my name. I want to tell you something. God knows everybody's name. Don't you think? God knows everyone's name. But the better question is this. Will he call my name? Will he speak my name? I don't need to worry about whether he knows it. I need to concern myself if he will call it. In John, he calls his sheep out. In Revelation, he confesses the name before his Father and his Father's angels. There is a significant difference in this for us to understand. Knowing our name does not mean we have life. But life is real when we know he will speak our name. So when I ask you, does God know your name? There's a purpose for that. Because even in Matthew chapter 7, we find something that is happening. There is a moment, a scene when judgment is taking place and Jesus is speaking to those that are standing there. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, listen, are y'all ready for this? Many will say to me in that name, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see what's happening? You've got people who are standing before the King of Kings. And he has not called their name. And he is not going to call their name. And they are standing before him and saying, Lord, Lord, but haven't we done so many wonderful things in your name? Can't you please call me? Can't you please recognize me? And he will say to them, I never knew you. Not once, for a second, did I know you in the sense that you are claiming. To the church in Sardis, I know that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're dead. And to those who are standing before him in judgment, and this is being taught in Matthew long before John was ever revealed, the book of Revelation. I tell you the truth. They will stand before me and I will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. And I've said this to you time and time again, but never knew you. That is very emphatic. It means not for one moment were you ever his. I don't care if you were baptized. You went down a dirty sinner. You came back a clean sinner. And wet. But you weren't his. He knows your name. But he's not calling your name. He's not speaking your name. This ought to be concerning to us. I'm not going to worry about whether I can lose my salvation. What I need to be concerned about is if he's going to call my name at all. If he's going to speak my name. I know he knows it. I know he knows yours. I know he knows everybody in this world. He knows their name. And how many of them are not going to have their name spoken by God? And when we see this passage in Revelation, he says, I will confess their name. There is something very wonderful about that. A lot of people, they don't really catch this and they don't see this because they don't link areas of Scripture with each other. They just take this place in Scripture and, oh, what's this teaching me right here? But there are places in Scripture where we have to connect and link and grow our understanding, and our spiritual truth begins to swell up within us and to overflow because we get excited with things that God shows us. And I never will forget God showing this to me years ago. Nobody taught me this. God taught me this. And I've tried to teach it time and time again in this church, but I'm going to teach it again today because it's important for us to hear this. When Jesus is speaking to the church, he says, those who overcome, you'll be clothed in white. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. He is telling us there's something real that is happening there. And if we want to understand it better, we ought to look through Scripture to see if there's a reference to anything like this happening before. And there is. There is. How many of you have ever read in Luke chapter 16, teaching there by Jesus himself about the rich man and Lazarus? Do you remember that? Lazarus was a beggar who laid at the gate of the rich man every day begging for food. He just wanted the scraps from the man's tables. And Lazarus died and was carried by the angels in heaven to Abraham's bosom. And the next sentence says this. The rich man died and was buried. The rich man died and was buried. What's happening here, y'all? My brothers and sisters in Christ, what is happening here? Lazarus died and was carried to heaven by the angels. Rich man died and was buried. What's the difference? Jesus is speaking Lazarus' name. Do you understand what is happening? In Sardis, he says to the church, I will confess you before my Father in heaven and his angels. And in Luke, long before Revelation again, he's telling us about Lazarus and the rich man. And he's telling us about two people that are actually in the history of all creation. This is not just a story that Jesus is telling. People want to tell you, oh, it's just a parable. It's just a teaching for us to try to understand something. Yeah, it's a teaching. You live and you die. Or you live and you live in greater life because He knows and calls your name. You know why the rich man was dead and buried, right? Because Jesus never gave us His name. It's not written in the book of life, and Jesus will not speak it. Isn't it amazing how Lazarus is known by name and the rich man is not? How many of you know the rich man? Have you ever found any reference to the rich man? Not this one. How many of you know the name of the rich man? The rich man, the rich man, the rich man. This is all I can tell you about the rich man. He died. He was buried. But then I can tell you this. He looked up from hell and he begged Abraham to send Lazarus down with just a drop of water to put on his tongue. And Abraham said, it cannot be. It cannot be. The rich man begged, well, go send someone to my brothers who are still alive so that they will know. And Abraham said, well, they have the prophets just like everybody else does. They have the teachings just like everybody else does. We in our life today, we have the good news of Jesus Christ just like everybody else. And those who reject Jesus Christ, He will not speak their name. Isn't it amazing? Those who stood before Him and said, Lord, Lord, these are people that say they're doing the good works in Christ's name because He knows my name. He knows my name. Get off of that He knows my name kick and start asking yourself this. Will He call my name? Because that is the moment we know we have life in Him. And don't build your resume for Christ on all these things that you have done because that doesn't mean anything to Him. The only thing that matters to Christ is your heart and your faith and your obedience. Why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I have taught you? Why do you call me Lord and yet you hate your brother? By this they will know you are my disciples. That you have love one for another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. And live. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. You know, for many of us, that cross is going to look different, isn't it? It's just going to look different. But you know, when we get to heaven, we're all going to look the same, dressed in white, all pretty. It's going to be a wonderful thing, isn't it? All of us are going to be able to sing. At least we're going to think we can anyway, right? Whatever we hear is going to sound good. I know that. It's going to be wonderful. But so many who think they are going to be there are going to wake up to a reality that's going to be very shocking. And it's going to be a reality that they created for themselves, because they forgot it wasn't about what they did or who they knew or what positions they had in life. It was all about who they put their love and faith in, Jesus Christ. Who their obedience was to, Jesus Christ. Who their love was shared with, their brother and their neighbor, has taught to us by Jesus Christ. Does he know your name? Well, good for you. But will he call your name? That's what I want to know. Will he call my name? That's a question all of us have to really ask ourselves. Will he call my name? Because that's a day I don't want to miss. That's a moment I don't want to have pass me by. I don't want people to say, "You remember Joel? Yeah, whatever happened to him? Oh, he died, they buried him." What a sad statement that would be for any of us. Oh yeah, they died. They were buried. I want to hear the trumpet. I want to hear my name called. I want to celebrate with those who are in heaven and alive because of their faith in Christ. Alive because of their love for Christ. And because of his love for all of us. But will he call your name? To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You know, I don't care if I'm number one or number 99. It doesn't matter. As long as I'm called. As long as I am called, I will follow him. I will trust him until that day, because none other can save. None other have promised to save. I can't trust myself, so I have to trust him. Beautiful, beautiful thing to have faith in Christ. Let me share this with you. A relative, step cousin, still relatives, aren't they? Posted a picture in Facebook yesterday, beautiful picture of the sky, and there were some clouds in the sky, and they looked like steps coming down. And under the picture, she said, "Wow, this looks like a stairway to heaven." And I said, well, I responded in my very serious and knowledgeable way. I said, "Looks like the gap between those steps is too big. I'm not going to try it." I'm trusting in Jesus. Amen? That's all we have. Is Jesus. And I'm asking you today, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Or do you just know him because he is Lord and Savior? See, there's a difference. You know him because he is, you're giving it a personal reference. He's my Savior, my Lord, and I know he will call my name. That's not just knowing that he is Lord and Savior. The demons know. They believe and tremble, but they're not going to sit down at the table. weigh the difference and ask yourself if you know Him like you should and if He will call your name in that moment, because it's coming for every one of us. Will He call your name? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? He's calling us to come. I'm inviting you to come to His call. If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, why not today? We have this moment. We have this time. We have opportunity. He's waiting. Will you come and have your name written in the book of life? Will you come? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You again for Your grace and Your mercy upon us. And Lord, I thank You that in this life, even when times are trying, that You are there. I thank You that You are a comforting influence and presence. I thank You that You always have been and always will be. And I pray, Father, if there is any here who have not found that comfort and that peace and that assurance, Lord, speak to them so that they hear. Strengthen them so they can respond, so that they can have the hope in You calling their name. And Father, I ask it for one reason alone. That's to Your glory. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come while there's time?